Biden is yelling at us all on the news as I watch the TV here in the studio. But I am about to hit into one of my favorite segments of the entire week with two brethren in radio broadcasting, guys I consider to be mentors and friends, Dale Jackson from WVNN and Jeff Poor from 106.5 down on the coast, and formerly of WVNN. Let us please assemble the Grand Council, Copper.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Hey, that one worked. That one worked well. It's the same every time, she says, but somehow it feels different every time. I don't know why. All right, fellers, we are on Grand Council. You know the rules. We each take a turn pinging each other with a question. We try to get through two questions each. I looked back in my notes. I think it's my time to start first this time, so let me sling one at you. As we speak, the President of the United States is yelling at us all on TV, and he is apparently going to go into total government overreach vaccine mandate mode. And I'm not anti-vax, but I am anti-mandate. And he is literally saying things like OSHA will be able to come into your business and find an OSHA violation if you don't have paperwork that will prove vaccinations, yada, yada. So here's my question. Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, very conservative, generally speaking, she just tweeted out, she said, "We intend to fight this in court. See you in court, Joe Biden." I'm questioning you. Do you think that the Alabama will file suit, that literally the Ivy administration will follow that lead?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's absolutely nothing to lose by suing Joe Biden here. You know you're going to win the case. I think that's pretty much a given. And you're going to say, "I fought Joe Biden." So yeah, it's a win-win for everyone in this case. And I think this is a bit, I put this out earlier, I think it's a bit by Biden saying, "Oh yeah, well, why don't you stop me?" And they'll say, "Okay, we'll stop you." And then Biden will be like, "Man, kind of seems like they're for the virus now." I think that's what we're doing here.
I think so. Good point. Jeff, what you think, buddy?
Okay, I mean, puts out some kind of scripted statement, very boilerplate, and the one who really takes the lead on this will be the Attorney General here in Alabama. But yeah, yep. I do think they will be on the same page on the policy pushing back against the federal government.
I think so too, and that's exactly my take on it. I look at this, it wasn't just a few weeks ago, the Biden administration got it handed to him by the Supreme Court of the United States on the eviction moratorium, and he knew for a fact going into it that it was overreach and that it was constitutionally not going to stand up, and he did it anyway, and he even said he was going to do it anyway, and SCOTUS handed it right back to him on a silver platter. So my hope is that states like Alabama, South Dakota, Georgia, Texas, I hope we wear him out on this. And it's, it's one more way to divide us and also change the narrative away from Afghanistan. All right, Jeff, I do believe you are next, my brother. What you got?
So this morning in Alabama Daily News, Todd Stacey's website, discussions about Arthur Orr pushing a tax cut. We've been having these record education budgets last couple of years. There's talk about lottery, so even more money put in the education coffers. Is it time we started talking seriously about tax cuts?
Short answer is yes, but Dale, I'll let you expound first and then I'll go.
Okay, I think, yeah, I think this is a pretty decent idea here. The question is, what does it look like when it all comes out? Or are we talking about doing away with the food tax? What exactly does this look like at the end of the day? So I think it's a good idea. And you think a bunch of politicians want to have this conversation in election year? Sure they do.
Of course they do. And right now, if they don't, the only thing they're known for is abdicating their authority to the governor during the pandemic and raising the gas tax. And that's pretty much it. But I do believe that this is a conversation that needs to happen. We're one of only 7 states in the nation that taxes groceries at all, last I checked. And I've also heard discussion about possibly giving or cutting away the business privilege tax, the tax you have to pay for the right to do business. And so I definitely think they should do it. And in fact, they'd better do it, because right now, when is having enough money enough money? I mean, how much more do you need? So I'd say yes, they've got to do it. And I'm glad Arthur's leading that conversation. All right, Mr. Dale, what you got, brother?
Oh, go ahead, Jeff. I'm a little annoyed by something that I saw today, and it's that a hospital, this was the number one of my 7 things you should be talking about today, hospital, at least one, was using the vaccine database that's held by the state in order to check up on the vaccine status of employees. And, you know, the attorney general came out and said, hey, this is bad, but, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to send him a letter and be like, you better knock this off. And I think that's not really hard enough. I think what we should be doing is punishing these people, naming and shaming, so to speak. Do we go any further on this, or is this little, hey, don't look at that vaccine database to verify vaccine status. Don't you dare do that. Is that enough?
Yeah, I'll take that first. So, yeah, as an attorney, I can tell you that one of the things I read down further in to see if there really was some teeth in it, apparently there are criminal penalties for this. So unlike the situation with, you know, Birmingham Southern charging more for your education if you don't reveal your vaccination status, in this case, the unlawful access to in violation of HIPAA and everything else does have criminal penalties attached to it. Now, I agree with you. I think you should have named the hospital. I'd like to have known who this knucklehead was. But all said and done, I'm glad the AG spoke out at the very least and made sure they understood that criminal penalties could be assessed later. Jeff, what you think, buddy?
Yeah, I had AG on today, and he said that, you know, there's just not a lot of teeth to the passport law. But well, here's what he said, though, and I'm hearing this down my way. The University of South Alabama has a hospital. Obviously, UAB have hospitals. These are maybe your state agencies that run these hospitals that are abusing this database to find out if their employees are the ones that are vaccinated. And if that's the case, this is more than just, you know, St. Vincent's or something. This is actual state government doing this. And that to me is even more problematic than we realize.
Totally agree. You know, one of the things that slipped under the radar, and I was fussing about it, but didn't really have this platform back then, was that UAB was one of the originators of a tracking app that could literally just basically track your and trace you. And it would decide where you had been and whether you might have been in close contact with someone who could have been infected. And then it would start notifying you and telling you what you had to do with your life. And that was basically being touted by government, by the governor, for that matter, on some of the conference calls that I was on when she had that sort of task force going on. But, yeah. All right. All right, we got time for another one. Dale, I'm going to defer to you. You go ahead and take the next question, bud.
Okay, the one thing that I thought was interesting is you saw a new person enter the United States Senate race of Black Hawk Down fame, Michael Durant, considering entering this race. I had a discussion about it on my TV show with Mecca Music. She seems to think that this guy is a player and that this kind of hurts Mo Brooks, not Katie Britt. My thought process is it's Mo Brooks versus the field, and this is just another person in the field. So I think if he does enter, this is twofold. One, it shows that maybe the powers that be don't have much faith in Britt, and so they want another player in there. And two, I think that it hurts Britt more than anyone just by being another non-Mo Brooks person. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll run with that first. I had Mike Durant on my show a couple weeks ago. Did a great job, and I had heard rumors about him, and I didn't bring it up on the show because it wasn't my place to do so. But I texted him later, and he said he was thinking this through. The thing that I really do believe that he is a potential player, and I think that right now time is everything. Timing is everything, and he is in a place of patriotism and pushback on Afghanistan, and he's got the street cred to say, I can lead large organizations like my company. I can do the deed when it comes to going to hard places doing hard things, and he's definitely got some charisma. So if he's got the ability to self-fund, he'd be a player if he got in the race. Jeff?
No, I it's too late. If he could self-fund, that's one thing. But if it means raising money, he's a little late in the game. But name ID, how much name ID can he buy at this stage? I'm skeptical of anybody that gets it at this point. Even a governor, unless you're somebody that's a well-known commodity, I think it's too heavy of a lift.
All right, there it is. Fellas, we're going to head to our short break, and we'll come back after that, and we've got to try and get two more questions in if we can. Folks, you're listening to The Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson and myself at News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. You can also listen live on rightsideradio.org, because wherever you is, there we is. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. On with two of my friends that I'd enjoy being on with once a week. We call it the Grand Council. I got Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson on the show with me. Two mavens of the media. And listen, we're doing this Grand Council thing where we ask each other questions and we sort of ping it back and forth with feedback. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. I think I'm the next question, so let me just go ahead and jump on it here. I've been telling folks that it's amazing to think, but that the recall election of Newsom actually could impact Alabama. I say that because if we get rid of Newsom, the feeling is that Dianne Feinstein is not long for this world, potentially, but she's also not long for office, that she is literally cognitively in decline. Some question about whether the governor of California would have to appoint a replacement, which if we unseat Newsom means we get a Republican that changes the balance of power in the Senate. There is my background. Here's my question for you. Polling right now shows he has to have over 50% to maintain office. Newsom does. Polling is anywhere from 48 to 53% depending upon which poll you look at. What is your prediction, gentlemen? Do we see Larry Elder or any other Republican overthrowing Newsom in California? Jeff, you first.
It feels a lot like Brexit, that the polling has been wrong. It's been slanted toward Democrats. They haven't got the polling right since Obama was in office. The polling's always been weighted to an Obama-level turnout for Democrats. I think he falls short. I think he falls in the mid-40s. And I think Newsom, it'll be the canary in the coal mine moment for Democrats. They will all of a sudden hit panic button. Not that they aren't already.
Oh, nice. Oh, Jeff, I hope you're right, man. Dale, what do you think, buddy?
Well, I think that's right. I think there's a real serious chance that he is in big trouble, and I think that there is a real chance he loses. I mean, I think they're telling this story the wrong way in the media. You know, they're kind of trying to ignore Elder, the whole racial monkey thing that happened just completely slept under the rug. And I think people see that. They're not blind.
I totally agree. I think people see it, but I also think they're living through the restrictions of the pandemic and they're watching the governor go out to dinner with his friends, not even wearing a mask, while they can't even move around and conduct life as they know it, and they're sick of it. I think just like Gray Davis got thrown out during the energy crisis and replaced with Arnold Schwarzenegger, a celebrity personality, I think in a sense we may see that again. But it's a close call, but I think it's going to wind up being one of those panic button issues for Democrats, and it could have a bellwether sort of effect across the nation. All right, there's that question. Who was next? Was it you, Jeff? I think you're next, aren't you, bud?
Yeah, and I'm going to bring up a name, one of y'all's favorite people, Bill Britt of the V. Not a guy I think of as being plugged into Trump world, but he's out there saying, he said this on statewide TV on Sunday, that Donald Trump is going to pull his endorsement from Mo Brooks and endorse Jessica Taylor. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but let's throw this out there as a hypothetical.
Dude, what?
If that were to really happen, what does it do to the Senate race?
First of all, Dale, I know where you stand, but I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't see that happening in a happy heartbeat. I do not see that happening. First of all, Jessica Taylor is the furthest behind in the polls. Well, maybe Linda Blanchard, but nonetheless, I do not see Jessica Taylor having the chutzpah to go and get a Trump endorsement away from a guy who stood next to Trump throughout thick and thin and is still in lawsuits about standing next to Trump. And I think Mo Brooks is still going to maintain that endorsement. Dale?
Who in their right mind, other than Jeff Poor, is listening to anything Bill Britt has to say about anything? What an absolute clown that guy is. He has no pull with the Republican Party or anyone who has any pull with the Republican Party. He's got people scared of him, so they give him money. That's about it. That's his lot in life. Let him be a loser by himself. No chance.
but just answer my hypothetical. I don't think this is going to happen, but let me know. Like, suppose it did happen in an alternate universe. Does it matter?
I think it would matter in an alternate universe.
It would matter.
Yes, I think it matters.
Yeah, if we were in Bizarro World and Trump suddenly pulled his endorsement, people would look around and go, what just happened? Why is that happening? What's going on? And I think it would definitely throw some fear into the Mo Brooks supporters, certainly. But it ain't going to happen.
But all this is for, and Jeff, I think you know this, and I'm not saying this is to you, but all this is for Bill Britt to be able to say, Oh, there's some questions. Oh, there's some doubt. Oh, that's all it is. Bill Britt's a con man, and, you know, it's just pathetic. What a loser. What a loser.
Well, somebody, all right. He's putting that out on behalf of somebody or something, just to put that out there, I think.
He's putting it out on behalf of Jessica, I guess. I mean, maybe she paid him enough for a story. All right, fellas, I love you. All right, the Grand Council has convened, and we are now in recess, but we will convene again next week. All right, folks, that's Jeff Poore from 106.5 on the Coast and our own Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN. On Right Side Radio is the Grand Council once a week where we banter about and give you all of the solid, conservative, and just plain right kind of feedback you can possibly stand. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.